When we were in school, we always used to really look forward to show and tell. Because with show and tell, you never knew what anybody was going to show up with. It seemed that it wasn't very uncommon for a child to sneak off to school with some treasure, some antique little trinket, or something very valuable that the parents would be absolutely and completely shocked if they knew that that had to make safely the journey to and from school. And of course, it was always interesting because this treasure was always wrapped up in either a paper napkin or some type of dirty old cloth, so the child could sneak it out of the house. And sometimes they'd be so excited and so anxious, they couldn't even wait until they got into the classroom and they're out on the playground and somebody can tell they're holding something and everybody starts gathering around and he draws a crowd as he very carefully and slowly begins to unwrap his treasure. And as he's unwrapping the treasure, everybody's crowding up, and those that are coming later, what is it? What is it? And finally, at that reveal point, you can see that, you know, the child opens it up and reveals the mystery to everyone. He goes, "My grandpa's living with us now. He keeps his teeth in a jar." As we come today, I want us to grab a hold of that relationship with Christ like it's a treasure. So, of course, first we're going to go to a very familiar verse in Scripture, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, where we will see, "Show us what you got." Please follow along with me as I read 2 Corinthians 4:7. "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. The message of salvation and the results that it brings are glorious and divine. In contrast, the messenger who brings it is mortal, imperfect. As Christians, we share the message. We share the effect that this message has made in our life. And as we do, we shine. But it's not really us that's shining, but it is Christ in us." He uses very clearly this analogy that it's an old clay pot. And we can see from the standpoint of an old clay pot that it's designed to hold something. And as it's designed to hold something, we are to fill it up. As this is a picture of the Christian, it doesn't have a whole lot of glory in and of itself. It's just an ordinary clay pot. But it's designed to be filled with God. That's what goes in the pot. That's what fills it up. It's much like we would if I was to take just a simple glass. We know that this is designed to hold water. And so as we pour the water in, the glass becomes full of water. Filtered and iced would have been nice. We get the idea that within God presenting this picture of a pot that should be filled up, its purpose is to be filled. And this rather ordinary, marred, imperfect pot is to be filled with God. The picture is quite remarkable. The pot is rather ordinary, but the power that goes into it is extraordinary. What a picture that's giving for us. That it's like, wow, God is really something. And of course, within this, we know the idea is that we're supposed to do what? Let this treasure shine out of the clay pot, which is our life. And so as we're looking at this picture, we certainly want to have God shine through our lives. The more we think of ourselves, the more we think of our own strength, the more we think of our own abilities, the less others will see the treasure that is contained within. They'll see the pot. They won't see the treasure. But if we die to ourselves, which we're commanded in Scripture to do daily, then we certainly will be in a situation that people will see what we have been designed for, what we've been designed to hold. They will see God shine through our life. Obviously, the more we do it, the more we shine. Secondly, there is the certainty of salvation. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Now, this great mercy that we see here is this unmerited favor that God has towards sinners. I don't need to fully explain this because Paul already has. That's a wonderful acronym. God is extending his grace to us to give us something we would not ever be able to get. And of course, within this, we know that according to what Peter is telling us here, salvation is sourced in God. It is a gift from God. Now, God, being sovereign, which just basically means he's in control, he's in charge, no one tells him what to do. If he is giving a gift to someone, we can be relatively certain, no, we can be absolutely positive that gift is going to go to whom he has intended. And because he is sovereign, not only are they going to receive that gift, but that gift is going to be there forever. Because that's what God has said the gift is for. It's for your forever. We take a look at this and it's like, wow, well, how does that change our thinking? What should that do for the Christian? Well, I think there's some remarkable things here that if we look at this in knowing that our inheritance is guaranteed, it's going to stay there, it's certain, it's not going anywhere. Peter goes on and he says it cannot be destroyed by hostile forces. It cannot spoil or fade. It is impervious to damage. Peter is just trying to reiterate, saying over and over again, that this is forever. God has graced you. He has gifted you. And it is everlasting. What an opportunity this opens up for the believer. Because rather than having to be really, really careful and going, oh, wow, I know I shouldn't have taken Mom's Fabergé egg out of its locked case and brought it for my friends to play ball with. No, what we see here is that because it is guaranteed, we can take it out, we can share it, we can open it up, we can share it with everyone to see and to use. Why? Because it can't be damaged. It can't fade, it can't be spoiled, it can't be crushed or destroyed by any oppositional force. We get to take it out, don't have to hide it. We can share it with everybody. What an amazing thing with this great treasure God has given us. And of course, within this, as we are using it, as we are sharing it, the treasure should be used. It should be shared. And the more we do it, the brighter it shines. Number three, let's celebrate the benefits. Turn with me, if you will, over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. And Thessalonians is after Colossians and before Timothy. Okay, 2 Thessalonians, let's begin at verse 2, verses 2 and 3. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work, produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Genuine faith always results in a greater love for other Christians. If we have genuine faith, if we are allowing it to grow and mature, always results in a greater love for other Christians. Now, as we look at this, Paul is saying many places in the New Testament that faith is not to be static, but it is to be growing. And here we can see he sees this growing faith as a cause of rejoicing, because the benefits of a growing faith are a greater sense of community, a greater sense of love and unity in the local church. An amazing picture. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, Paul, in addressing the church, he says, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Like the Corinthians, we have been called to be separated unto God. That's where we get the word holy. We are called to be holy, set apart unto God. And as we are grabbing that picture, we are being set apart together as a local representation of what is going on with Christ around the world. So here in the local church, we're picturing all of the glory that Jesus would have for the whole body. It's one thing here to see that one of the great benefits of our salvation is not just that, wow, I get God and that's wonderful. Yes, certainly that's a big part of it. But the benefit is we now have been brought into a relationship with every other Christian. And when we come to the church, we don't have to stop and look around and see what are your interests. Because you and I mean, if we're going to hang, we gotta kind of have something in common. And we do. We've got all we need in common because we have got the salvation in Christ that we share together. We have got the Holy Spirit. And that is way plenty for us to feel like we have something in common with everybody else in the room. So it's within that picture that we see that a real benefit of this treasure is how we get along with one another. Within this, the importance of this can be seen in that the Lord has placed us in a local church. Many of you have shared with me how you felt like the Lord's leading was with you as you came to call this your church home. And that's wonderful. The Lord does want us in the local church because He has gifted every single one of us in the Holy Spirit with spiritual gifts. These spiritual gifts are designed to make us grow and mature in Christ. What's the result of growth and maturity in Christ? The ability to be more effective, to be more impacting for the cause of Christ in this world. So as we're looking at growing and developing in that, there's not a single one of us in this room or in any other sanctuary across the world that has been given everything they need in Jesus Christ. And you think, well, wait a minute. Hold on here. Isn't that enough? By design, the Lord has given gifts to the body through the Holy Spirit to each one of us, with none of us having all of the pieces. So the only way we're truly going to grow, the only way we're truly going to mature, is if we do it together. Because if we try doing it on our own, there's gifts we don't have, then we need help from others. Now, God, who is perfect, and God, who is smarter than all, designed it this way. What an incredible blessing for us to have to be drawn together for a purpose of growing and maturing in our faith so that we are more impacting. One of the greatest treasures in coming to God in salvation is we get to know God. We get to experience God in this life. Paul, at the very end of his life, is still saying the one thing he just wants more of is that experience, Philippians 3:10, to know Him and the power of His resurrection. This should be our never-ending quest. But in this quest, on this path of experiencing God, He has very clearly set apart the local church as the means to which we will be able to unlock this benefit of growth and maturity in our spiritual faith, that we will be able to experience God more and better than we ever have before. Apart from your church family, you're never going to have the experience with God He has designed. It takes us all working together to be able to achieve the place of realizing the fullness of experiencing God in this life that He has intended. We can't go climb out on a hill somewhere and just say, God, it's just you and me, and I just want this awesome experience. He's going, why did you leave everybody? I designed you to be with them so you could have that experience. So, very clearly, if we want to maximize that treasure, We want to let it shine out of our life. We really need one another. So this morning, I'd like to say that if we are going to treasure Christ, if we're going to treasure our relationship with Christ, because of the very direct benefit in us realizing a greater experience with God, we need to embrace the design, and we need to cherish, we need to treasure being a part of a local church. And of course, then that's going to go, wow, well then what all is going on here? We should all realize that in the local church, we should find ourselves feeling like this place is a safe harbor. It's our sanctuary. It is our shelter in the time of storm. It is the shoulder to lean upon. It is the joy to share with others. And it is the path to the greatest experience of God in this life, is through this group. So then I guess you would raise the very serious question that I will answer sevenfold. How do we then treat our church family, our church membership, like treasure? Number one, faithfulness. If you're not a regular part of the fellowship here, if you do not know what is going on, it should be real clear you aren't going to be benefiting from calling this your church family. The only way that you can really take advantage of it is to get involved. Imagine if someone goes and purchases a gym membership. Yes, that would benefit me greatly. If somebody purchased a gym membership and never used it, that wouldn't make any sense. Just like being a member of a local church and not taking advantage of the benefits of that membership doesn't make any sense either. Number two, financial support. Christ very clearly is telling us that, you know, where your heart is, that's where your treasure is also. And within the same context, he's talking about the financial aspect of it. You want to know where your treasure is? Look how you spend your money. How you spend your money is going to be a real good indicator of what you treasure. It would only make sense then that if you value, if you treasure your church membership, you certainly are going to be supporting their efforts through your financial gifts. I'm not telling you this because the church needs your money. And of course, all the trustees go, I'm telling you this because it's of great benefit to you. Do you not want God's best in your life? Don't you want the big experience of God? Don't you want that light to shine through you? Well, this is one of those things you can do that will make it happen. You see, you don't give money so that God gives you money back. You give because you understand what God has given to you, and if you do it the way that God wants you to do it, you know you're going to have a bigger and better experience of God in your life. Number three, possess an owner's mentality. You know, we can see that, you know, church membership is not something that hangs out there as a means for you to feel obligated. The reason there is church membership is so that you can access the benefits of spiritual growth and spiritual maturity so that you shine brighter for Him. It kind of comes down to, you know, look at it this way. Can you imagine if you're saying, hey, God, in this life, with what I've got left, I want God's blessing in my life. I want this treasure to show itself out of my life. And if that's our desire, then we're taking ownership of our faith. And therefore, we recognize, because of how clearly God has said, you need one another to grow and mature as I have designed, then the benefits of this salvation would be for us to consider. Unfortunately, I think there are too many people that when they come to Christ, they're going, you know, I have got this amazing deal of eternal life from God. He gave me this gift, and someday I'm going to be with Him in heaven forever. And the Lord is telling us, hey, don't forget everything from that day until the day you leave this earth is of purpose, is of meaning. It's important. I want you to experience me now. Don't wait. Don't postpone those blessings. Experience them right now. So in terms of having an owner's mentality of your own salvation is to say, man, I want to live this out now. I don't want to wait for it. I'm not waiting for those future blessings. I want God's blessing in my life right now. Number four, encouragement. Let's make this part of the thing interactive if I could. How many of you, if given the opportunity, would be willing to encourage someone else? Okay. Now, at one time or another, every single one of us is going to find ourselves in a situation. We need a little encouragement. There's the times we just need that attaboy. We just need that thanks for helping out. We just need that slap on the back. And we've just demonstrated. We've got a whole room full of people that are willing to do that. Number five. Correction. Oh, wow, now that's not always pleasant. But you know what? It's a whole lot better than making the same mistake over and over again. These are benefits. Okay, number six, teach or learn. Sorry. It wasn't his fault, that was mine. Okay, you've got to learn to live. You've got to learn to love. You've got to learn to grow. And as I indicated with the spiritual gifts, no one of us gets the whole package. None of us is smart enough to figure this whole Christian walk out on our own. We must rely. We must trust one another that God has gifted as He has gifted us. That we will work together because in that I will grow and I will mature and I will experience God for all I would have in this life. Number seven, plab. We'll talk about that one next week. Just remember, there is an after church fellowship dinner immediately following service next week. I trust that you're all planning on being a part of that. To conclude, we need to treat our salvation like it is the greatest treasure in our lives. And as we treat it as the greatest treasure in our life, it cannot help but have a great impact on the way we view and the way we interact with the local church. Because it is here that we are going to experience the maturity and the growth God desires from us. Why? So that we may experience Him more fully right here and right now. Lord, we thank You that Your power and Your presence has been given to us. Lord, forgive us for those times that we seem to be satisfied with just a little tiny glimmer of light out of our soul, when You have designed us to shine so bright, we look just like You. Lord, to that end, may we adjust our thinking. May we cherish You. May we treasure Your salvation. And may we treasure our local church as the means to more fully experience You in our lives. In our Son's, in our loving Savior's precious name, amen. As we conclude today, there's two kinds of people in the room right now. There's those that have been filled up with God. They've got the treasure in their life. I implore you, take it out. Use it. Let it shine. For those of you that may be here today and don't know this treasure, you've never experienced it as your own. You're the clay pot that is designed to be filled, designed by the designer to be filled with Himself. Come, find out what that treasure is, that you may have it for your own. Let us stand. If there's anyone that would have a decision they would wish to make public, please make your way up here to let me know. If there's anyone here today that does not know the treasure that is Jesus Christ, don't leave here without it. You can come right now and let me know, and I'll let somebody else close the service out, because we'll go find that treasure for yourself. Or if you want to wait, grab me after the service. There would be no greater privilege in the world than to take you from being just a clay pot designed to be filled with God, and to have you filled up, that you may know that treasure. Father, we thank You that You have loved us with an everlasting love. How can we embrace such a thought that the greatest thing in this life is to experience You? You've designed us to experience this with You and Your gift to us. For the fuller expression of this gift, we need one another. May we embrace that as well as a gift from You. Bless us as we go from here, that we may be Your soldiers in the battlefield for the Lord. In Christ's name, amen.